All right, so Birchie Kid did a story on our website, 971theticket.com, that's been linked through Twitter. We retweeted it because it's fascinating. He was talking, and this we found out later, exclusively with Tarek Skubal.
An exclusive.
Do we have the sound? This is admittedly, you know, it's hard to. The clubhouse was loud last night, and we'll read it for people who can't hear it, that can't make it out. But when where this team is in the season and what he wants to have happen next, when the topic came up with Birchie standing there, here's what Skubal had to say after last night's win. Okay, that was hopefully the decision makers see that we're a very good team and it's not sell at the deadline, it's add. I think we're a really good team and there's so many guys in this room that have proven we can go out on a run like we did in 24. We can go on a run like we did in 24. Now, what he's referencing there, of course, is the 24 team got white hot in August and into September and made the playoffs. This team has been pretty damn hot the last month and a week here, and have made it a debate. Like, you know, they've gone from 16 games under to 9 games under, and the American League isn't particularly strong. It's got this middle class that the Tigers are trying to you know, get back into that grouping and maybe make the playoffs. And, you know, you can sit here and you can say, well, their bad play has eroded faith. And that's fair. Like, and I always say everyone's feelings is authentic to themselves. I'm not mad at you if you have given up and you don't think the wise thing to do is even talk about whether or not this team should add. Skubal wants to add. Now, Skubal saying this is a little bit fascinating. Like, you know what would help, dude, is if you resigned here.
Right.
It's cool that you want to win. You should want to win. But, you know, you don't care about future assets because they're probably not assets that will bother you given the likelihood of you coming back to Detroit. Do I think there's a chance he comes back to Detroit? I think there's a chance, but, you know, it doesn't feel – it feels like when you hire Scott Boras, you are going – to always know that his final calls are going to go to New York, Boston, Chicago teams to try and make sure that they can't give you a shekel more, and they probably will. But with that said, Skubal wants to add. Now, some people think it's hypocritical for a guy that won't sign here long term to say that. I think it's fine, but I get it's kind of a weird place for, you know, sure, a player should want to win, but you know, we kind of wish you'd re-sign here. And we kind of wish that was a more realistic possibility.
Yeah, I mean, look, my dream scenario is that they pull a Jack Flaherty with Tarek Skubal. They trade him for prospects, and then in the offseason, they re-sign him. It's not going to happen. I don't think that's ever going to happen. That's why it's just a dream. It's also interesting that what he's saying now, he says it because he thinks, maybe rightfully so, he's in a position of power here. He's a free agent to be. He's been on this team for a while. He's arguably the best pitcher in baseball. He has the cachet personally to come out and make a suggestion like this or say, or at least speak his mind and give an opinion. I'd love to see us add at the trade deadline. Be buyers. Let's go for it. And he's one of the leaders on this team. He can get people rallied behind him because he's always the guy that goes out there every 5 days and gets the job done. I mean, he's outstanding. Even though he only went 5 innings last night because he had his pitch count run up, he struck out 9, only gave it the 1 run.
So the one thing that I cannot emphasize enough is on July the 8th, I'm not in favor of adding. I'm not in favor of committing to trading Skubal. Not today.
So you're still, you're like,
I'm open to all possibilities. This team has to do it. I mean, why not take in all the possible incoming data, which is 21 more games before the trade deadline, before you make that decision? Because I don't think it's absurd the way that they're playing, that they are really creeping towards 500. I mean, it's 3 weeks of good play.
I mean, they're 9 games below now. It's been a minute since they were 9 below. Which sounds so awful. I mean, anything right. That's 9 games below 500, like whatever, dude. But yep. No, they're playing better baseball. It was a terrible May, and now they're best team in the American League over the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, well, and here's the data. And again, from the Birchie story, He writes in part, since June, the Tigers had the best ERA of the majors, the most homer in the majors, the best record in the American League. Baseball's a strange sport. After 91 games, the Tigers are plus 15 in runs scored. The A's are minus 76, and they have matching records of 41 and 50. If you subscribe to such things, and the Tigers and their analytically minded front office surely do, Detroit's run differential equates to an expected record of 47 and 44. Berchi writes, your eye rolling is understood. The Tigers did this to themselves. There are just seven teams in the majors with positive run differential and winning record against above 500 teams. Six of them, the Dodgers, Brewers, Rays, Braves, Yankees, and Marlins, either lead their division or occupy a playoff spot. The other is the Tigers. And you know, I pointed out that of the six teams occupying AL playoff spots, the Tigers have a losing record against just one of them. So the predisposition that, oh, if the Tigers make the playoffs, they're not going to do anything, I think is false. Because they have a winning record against four of the other of the six playoff teams. They're 500 against the White Sox, and they are a resounding 0-6 against Cleveland. And now given, like, they have played some of those teams without their best players, like the Yankees, but the Tigers did it without, what'd you say? They had Melton, Mize, and Skubal. They got five starts out of those guys in the month of May.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
And none of them were Skubal starts.
Anyway, the point is, there are some reasons that you can look at this team and say, okay, it's not false hope. But again, you know, it to me, I'm not making any decisions today at all. You can, if you have decided that you want to add or trade Skubal, I think it's premature.
And I understand where you're at on that. The wait and see approach is something we typically say as a show, let's let things play out.
Yep.
And
these are not hot takes.
Yeah. I'm not demanding a trade here on July 8th either. I think that's where they're going to go. I do want them to buy and sell, but I'm not saying buy and sell right now. Let things play out here for a few more weeks, and you might find yourself in an obvious position, or you might find yourself in a position where there's even more strength because let's say that you've got Gleyber Torres who's healthy and playing again. And he's trending in the right direction. Okay, well, if he's healthy and he's playing, he's got value. You know, Jack Flaherty is pitching out of his mind right now. The last couple starts, he's been great. Does he have value? If you have to go that route where selling everything because you're not there, and you're selling the free agents is what I'm talking about, then you'll go down that path. If you're in a spot where you're actually in it, like now instead of being five games out of the wild card, you find yourself two games out of the wild card because you continue to play well. Instead of being 6.5 games back in the division, you're 3.5 games back or 2.5 games back in the division because you're playing better than everybody else because this is the team that you are. It might be a totally different feeling that you have approaching that trade deadline of August 3rd.
All right, let's talk to the people. Matt on a cell, you're on 97.1. Hello, Matt.
How's it going? So I'm with Paul. And so I want to acknowledge that, yes, they probably do have a chance to go to the playoffs, but I simply don't care because they could go to the first, second round. They can go to the championship game. If they're not winning the World Series, it doesn't matter.
Well, so, let's be clear here, Matt. That's never guaranteed for anyone, any team. It's never guaranteed you're going to win at all.
That's true. But for the Tigers, the way they've been playing, and yes, they've been winning a few games, but the playoffs is a whole different atmosphere, and that's when teams start to play better. You know, short of going to the World Series, I don't care. And, you know, sell.
Okay, and you don't care that they've beaten the best teams in the American League. You don't even want us. You don't want a seat at the table, and you've made up your mind already. Nothing can change your mind.
No, and it's like that for all teams. The Lions. If you don't win the Super Bowl, or if you don't go to the Super Bowl, I don't care what you do, right? Make the moves and better this team. Better prepare them so that they can get to the big stage.
So which team do you think is going to win a World Series?
Probably the Dodgers.
Okay, so you're saying probably the Dodgers. Are you saying resoundingly it's the Dodgers?
I would say somewhere around 65 to 70%.
Okay. Because it's interesting, because that's not, I thought maybe you might say higher. if it's only 65% that you think the Dodgers are going to win, and by the way, Vegas has them right now. You can get odds somewhere, as I Googled it. They're plus 165 to plus 200 at this point. I would have thought that it would have been a minus number because the Dodgers are that heavily of a favorite, but they're not. You still actually make money if you're betting Dodgers straight up here. You're making money on it. That being the case, there's no guarantees who's going to win the World Series. Anything can happen. Can the Tigers compete in the American League? Can they get to the ALCS and have a chance to play for the World Series the way that they're playing now?
Yeah.
Okay, so if they can, get to the World Series, then what are we talking about?
No, if they're not going to win, like if
they're how do you
the
know?
World Series and they're playing the Dodgers, dude, they're not going to beat the Dodgers. You're crazy.
Well, let me ask you this.
I asked before, you said 65% that the Dodgers win the World Series, and now I'm crazy if you think you get there.
I mean, Matt's made up his mind. I think it's foolish to make up your mind now. I feel like if the NBA trade deadline came and he was running the Knicks, he would have sold. You know, I mean, if you guess,
don't have a chance.
Did anybody talk on February 5th of this year? Was anybody talking about the Knicks winning the NBA?
So how many teams should be? I mean, based on that logic, how many teams in Major League Baseball out of the 30 should be talking about selling? Is it 27? Is it 26?
Probably. Now, to be fair, the Knicks had a winning record. It wasn't like they were where the Tigers are. But there's a lot of time to make up. And the way that they are playing, they've made this a debate. I just think it's foolish to paint yourself into a position with 3 weeks to go before the trade deadline.
Let me also say this. I don't think the Tigers go in the World Series, okay? I don't think that's the case. And I'm just saying the way this team is playing now and the way they've played for the last 5 weeks, if this is the team they truly are, they've got a chance to make some noise. Certainly in the American League, they could be disturbers, absolutely, and that's before any moves are made.
And what do they, like, people don't think they're better than they were a year ago. And I'm like, well, Dingler's better. Riley Green is better. McGonagall wasn't here. Melton is helping. The one place that they are.
Miles
better. The one place that they have been, that has been fatal for them, is the bullpen. And it is, I have a strong suspicion that if they were going to address anything at the deadline and follow Scooble's advice, it would be bullpen help. But there's not, I mean, Matt's not the only one. Like I said, your feelings are authentic to you.
I'm not mad at Matt.
I'm not either. 248-539-9797. Nor am I mad at Paul, who's in Matt's camp, or as Matt said, he's with Paul. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Hey, safety is top of mind for new drivers. Sam Bernstein Law and the Michigan State Police want you ready for anything. Get a free student driver magnet or an emergency car safety kit. Pick one up at an MSP post or order online at callsam.com/car safety kit. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Scooble, after the game last night, told our Will Birchfield in a story that's posted on 971 The Ticket and linked through our Twitter page at DougGator971. He wants the Tigers to add. He wants them to go for it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Okay? But I could tell some people are mad about it. Like, hey, dude, why don't you sign with this team if you care so much? But, you know, it's unfortunately, that's the business that is just part of the game. And, you know, you want, if your best player wants your team to win the World Series, how can you possibly be mad at him? And he's thinking what he would like to see them do. Now, with that said, I think any decision at this point would be foolish to lock into any position, whether it be to sell or to buy. They're playing like the best team in the American League for a good stretch here. And if they keep it up, I think an addition could be justifiable, but they'd have to keep it up. And as you pointed out, I believe last hour, everything could unravel in the next few days.
Sure.
It can quickly come undone.
I mean, we've seen it happen, but they're in a nice little stretch here. I think it's awfully important to win the first game of every series because it stops doom and gloom from setting in too much. Like, if they go out and lose tonight, which I think would be bad, but at least they won last night. So now you're battling for the series in game three. Mm-hmm. Win the game tonight, you've got the series. There's like, it's a weight lifted off your chest, off your shoulders, wherever you want, wherever the weight lies. And go out there and take care of game three. But Tonight, they've got an excellent chance with Troy Melton on the mound, whose ERA is below 2.1 this year. He's been outstanding. Take care of business. Keep going and chipping away at that awful deficit you've built because of what happened in May.
Let's go to Al in Detroit. You're next. Hello, Al.
How you doing?
What's up?
So it's really simple. When we watched the Tigers back in the 70s, we didn't give up on Trammell, Whitaker, and Gibson and all those guys. We stuck with them. This new concept is so crazy that we want to sell our players. Your best player wants to win. Absolutely, we want to win, and we should win. We need to keep him and just stick with it. When you go out and go get new young kids and trade them away, you still got to get rid of Torque, Colt, and all these other guys. So why would you keep rebuilding and rebuilding? The good teams never rebuild. Look at the Rams. They went out and got Stafford. Next year they went added more players.
Al, just real quick, you do realize that Scooble's contract is up, and he hired a super agent that probably wants to take him elsewhere.
Well, power to him. God bless him. Because he deserves it. It's a screwed-up system. Okay, they keep the guys in the minor league 6 years. The poor guy finally got to be good. He was a 13th-round pick. I hope he gets every million he deserves.
But you're saying you don't understand why they're going to get rid of him. They're going to get rid of him
I understand they're going to get rid of him. But in all honesty, we're fans. We're supposed to be irrational. We're supposed to want them to win. If the best player wants to win. And they have – look, we're 6 games behind the Chicago White Sox. Dennis Green said, it's Chicago. We know who they are. This is the same thing. Chicago White Sox are terrible. Any chance that you as a fan, you should be – we never would sell out on a team. But today it's become a new thing. Talk radio, talk about giving you – but we've made a fool out of this guy for saying he wants to win and he's your best guy. Of course he's going to get $300 million. The system is screwed up where only three teams can pay.
Al, who's made a fool? What?
I said we've made a fool of him because the guy says he wants to win. We're talking about him, and most of the conversation is negative because we're saying he's hypocritical for saying he wants to win. Even though you're tinting it towards the way of him saying the right thing. In reality, every fan in Detroit should be in love with him.
I think they are. Scooble's a beloved player. But people also recognize what's about to happen, and that is at the end of the season, he becomes a free agent. And he's not likely to re-sign here. So you do what's best for the organization. Now, is what's best for the organization to go for it now? We'll see. They got 3 weeks to make up their mind on trading and 3 weeks to see where they are in the standings. And by the way, Scooble isn't somebody who spent 6 years in the minors. He spent like parts of two or three seasons in the minors before getting his break with the Tigers. He's had arm issues and the whole bit. But, you know, the 6 years in a minor thing does not happen for top prospects anymore. Those guys matriculate as quickly as you can get them.
I apologize. I have no idea what that was.
I think it was a guy who's trapped in the 70s with his mentality of how things should work today, while still recognizing it's a screwed up system now. It's near impossible to compare things in today's day and age with the 70s on a million different fronts, right? I mean, come on.
Let's go to Chris next on 97.1. Hello, Chris.
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Hey, got a question for you. Talking about all this, do they add or do they sell? Let's just say they decide to add. Do you think it's possible that the GM will actually add from free agency, or based on all the injuries that the Tigers are dealing with Baez and Torres? You got Meadows, who's a little bit further off. Even when you're talking about the pitching staff, Verlander, Jackson Jobe starting to do rehab starts in single A. Do you think it's possible that he might be sitting back and just saying, I'm just waiting for everybody to get healthy?
Okay.
And that
you're talking about, at the trade deadline, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause you mentioned free agency.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm just making, when you say free agency, it makes me think off season. Do I think there's a chance that Scott Harris will take the approach that all my additions are going to come from within? Is that what you're asking? When guys get healthy? Yeah, you know what? I think that is one area and one position I will take that I think that would be a huge mistake. I think standing pat is the one thing that to me is unacceptable. You have to make a decision one way or another. And I think standing pat would be you either got to strengthen your resume to make a run for it in this last year with Scooble, or you got to pull the plug. I do not see a scenario where I could get on board with standing pat.
Yeah, the players that are coming back, Chris, they're all position players, with the exception of Jackson Job. They're all position players. Yeah, so yeah. I mean, they should, if they're going to buy a bullpen arm, for sure.
Okay.
Is it possible that they could play the waiting game with the offense and guys coming back, like Torres in particular coming back? I think maybe there's some of that. But I also think that there's no way that they're not considering adding bats to this lineup to just improve the bottom half of the lineup. They have to.
What do you guys think will happen if Verlander is healthy? Do you think, I mean, as good as the starting pitching staff is now, do you think they might bring him back for depth in the bullpen?
If he's healthy enough to pitch, I think he's going to be on this roster. They're paying him. And he wants to earn the money. He wants to pitch. What I'm thinking more every day is that, A, either he's not going to come back, or if he does, he shouldn't have any say if he's going to be a starter or a bullpen. You're going to pitch the way that they want you to play, and I think he's open to that at this point.
I have no expectation for Verlander.
Yeah, it feels like he's a forgotten Tiger at this point.
I almost feel like the most tangible use of Justin Verlander the rest of the way is if they do sell, if their play dictates that they should sell, and they sell off Scooble and Gleyber Torres and others, Verlander becomes a guy that I hope is healthy, so they can sell tickets every 5 days the rest of the way. Come see Verlander one last time, because if they pull the plug on the season, I think that is the most tangible impact he can have on this team is a box office draw. I hope it'd be such a cool story if he could be repurposed in some way to help a team that's really fighting for something. It just feels unlikely. And age has caught up to him. And you know, it's harder to come back when you're...
It's been talked about for years. Hey, Justin Verlander coming out of the bullpen. Could he do that? Yeah. Could he pull a John Smoltz and change things up? And who knows? I mean, right now he's still an unknown when he's going to come back from this recent hamstring issue that he's got, that he doesn't feel right on the mound. And, you know, when he does come back, is he going to have his velocity? Is he going to be effective at all with secondary pitches? I don't know. Don't know what to expect at this point. So I have no expectations.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
I don't know if I like that.
You know, yeah, I mean,
it's interesting. Like, when you first hear it, like, oh, that sounds great. And then, wait a minute. And that is, it's been announced that Michigan State basketball will take on Arkansas at Little Caesars Arena on Thanksgiving Day with a tip at 4:30.
I'm going to check the schedule because I'm pretty sure that the Lions have a game that day.
So Lions at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that, you got Michigan State, Arkansas. It sounds in theory like, oh, that's awesome. And then you realize, wait a minute, when am I going to eat turkey? What do I do? when's dinner?
Yep.
Usually Thanksgiving's an earlier dinner. This might mess up my day, dog.
I don't know. You'll find a way to persevere.
You think so?
Thanksgiving breakfast.
Yeah, that's what you could do.
Just Thanksgiving just doesn't stop, I think, is what happens. It's just
go, 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 go.
The pregame meal of the Lions is usually Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So you get your turkey and some stuffing, some mashed potatoes and gravy, and move on. Maybe a little slice of pumpkin pie.
Maybe you have, you know, just to make it through the day, have an extra serving of mashed potatoes, carb up.
Maybe. Yep. Yeah. By the time I get out of there, probably head over to my brother's, you know, but want to see the basketball game more than likely. So maybe at halftime I leave.
Yeah.
Get some leftovers there. I got to have my turkey and my stuffing and my gravy, my mashed potatoes, and my sweet potatoes.
Well, now you got your Lions and your Spartans on that day. So you have that to look forward to. 248-539-9797. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. Regarding Dylan Larkin, we have a trade list of three teams. You aren't that serious about getting traded. Larkin will be a Red Wing. That's from an unnamed texter. Another unnamed texter, 100% correct. Gator, when you ask for a trade and you have a no-trade clause, you lose the right to get to go where you want. That's how it should be. So I don't expect Larkin to go anywhere because Stevie isn't going to just give him away.
He's not going to just give him away. I think at some point he'll get traded because there'll be, I think he's going to expand his list and there's going to be a team that can put forth a tremendous offer.
I've been saying this to all my friends all along about Larkin. I think Yzerman needs to find a way to keep him and repair the relationship. We won't get another player if he's, I think he means of, we won't get another player of his quality. Get some more players to support him, pay him more, find a way to make him happy about staying. That's from Stephen Ann Arbor. This is not on Larkin. Right, so another Steve. Yzerman has done a horrible job and there are consequences to every decision. Stevie is being unrealistic on not wanting prospects back.
Well, you don't know what offers have been out there. And if you've looked at these three teams and the players that they have to offer, is there a lot that they've had to offer?
So here's the thing about it is, and I made this point when it became clear that Yzerman wasn't going to get fired, that one of the risks that you run is that he is not necessarily GMing in the best interest of the Red Wings. The fact that he wants players now tells me he wants to win now, which is fine. But is his motivation to win now because he better win to keep his job when the best somebody might offer a truckload of futures, draft picks and great prospects? But you're like, I can't wait. I need to win now because I need to save my job. And that's one of the challenges of this bit of a mess. And my guess is I would say that's not the case. But,
you know, the Red Wings have been so close the last few years in making the playoffs, and they fail in March. We know. It's a story told time and time again, year after year after year after year. What I've seen with the two major additions they've had to this team right now in this offseason with Arvidsson and Kolesar, am I wrong in thinking that if this mess never happened, if they signed those two players, that this is a playoff team? With those two additions? More importantly, the subtractions of who they've replaced?
There's a lot of people that like these signings. They might be, okay? But
we don't know.
This goes back to the same thing with the Tigers. Making the playoffs and actually challenging for the Stanley Cup, it doesn't feel like this is an offseason that, if Larkin were happy and they just brought these guys in, then we'd be like, oh, sweet, this team's going to make a real push for the cup.
Push for the cup is different than making the playoffs, right? You got to walk before you can run. And I'm just looking at this team now. If this mess never happened, I think this would be a playoff team. And the excitement about building to the future would be the young players getting their opportunity and showing what they have. And hopefully there's something there. If there's not, then it's a massive step back in a couple of years, right?
Yep.
But these two players they've added make this team better. It'll be a step back if they trade Larkin for only prospects. But I think it's something that at this point everybody's like, yep, it's either going to be a big step back because they're getting the prospects or somehow find a way to keep moving forward if they get a player or two that for Larkin to make this team even better.
And for the guy who said they won't get anybody better, it would be hard in this offseason. It's not hard. There are better players out there than Dylan Larkin. There are not better players for the money right now available on the market.
He is a steal right now. He's an absolute bargain.
Given what 30 goal scorers are signing for these days?
Yeah. And, I mean, the other thing that they got to figure out is Simon Edvinson. Now, when they signed Sider and Raymond to their deals, it didn't happen until September of 2024 when they signed them in the offseason. Mm-hmm. So right before the regular season was going to begin, like by a couple weeks. Based on what players are signing for right now and offer sheets that players are being, you know, tied to, I think the Red Wings, it would behoove them to get a deal done with Simon Edvinson quickly. And he's likely to sign for more money than Mo Sider is getting because it's just the timing of things. The cap has gone up each of the last, I don't know how many years, it keeps going up and up and up, and it's gone up even more in the last couple of years. He's getting his deal now. He's going to end up making $9 million a season, which make him the top paid player on the team. Hopefully he doesn't ruffle feathers with people and just recognize it's the business of the game. Every year, players are getting paid more and it's his time.
Well, this is interesting. Uh-oh. At this hour, Major League Baseball has just announced 3-time Cy Young Award winner, 2-time World Series champion, 2011 American League MVP, and 2006 AL Rookie of the Year, Justin Verlander, has been named to the AL roster as a legend pick for the 2026 All-Star Game. Commissioner of Baseball Rob Manfred announced today.
Now, it's weird. I mean, he's obviously injured right now.
Yep.
Is he expected to be healthy enough to throw a pitch in a game if they need him to? Is this just...
I don't want him pitching in the All-Star game. I'm nothing against JV, but...
What we should be happy about is it's they're paying tribute to a future Hall of Famer
yep.
who's likely in his last season of baseball.
Yep.
As much as he may want to pitch another season, you haven't really pitched this year.
No, he's pitched in one game. And...
Poorly.
If there's an opportunity to squeeze anything out of him in a useful way, let's go for it. Remember all the drama about the World Baseball Classic in Scooble.
Right.
And so this is a dude that my guess is he's just going to be there in uniform, which is fine.
Yeah. It's just odd.
He's essentially the mascot.
I mean, don't say that. Wow. Don't say
wow,
that.
Wow, Bobby.
I'd have to look back and see who they've done this with in the last few years. If they've done, I imagine it all kind of makes sense when you're talking about he is a legend. He's, I mean, the no hitters, all the accolades you just listed.
Yep.
He's a future Hall of Famer without question. First ballot.
It's like cool. We have a guy there who's cool. But I seriously, like, okay, if he's healthy enough to pitch, it's okay if he doesn't.
It's fine if he doesn't.
Yeah.
Last time I remember JV pitching in the All-Star game, he was trying to hit 100 miles an hour. It probably wasn't his last All-Star appearance, but that's what I remember. I think it was on the road somewhere watching the game in a hotel room as he's trying to his damnedest to get to 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Didn't work out.
Interesting. By the way, I didn't see any reports. If anybody could tell us, how did Scooble Bobblehead night one go last night? We looked up on eBay this morning that the bobbleheads were being sold for like between 50 and 80 bucks in that range somewhere.
Well, when sitting, you would get it for free.
Yep.
That's a nice bump in your investment.
Yeah. I mean, it's a turn of you get a little something for nothing, but
which one's more coveted?
The home or road?
Yeah.
Well,
you'd think the home.
If I were a collector, and I, you know, I'm not, I would think that the commitment is to get them both.
Well, that is the commitment because they fit together. It's like a puzzle.
But, you know, I'm not a collector. Maybe that's obvious. How many people are going to both games for this purpose only? Perhaps 15,000 of you.
Well, it wasn't a sellout last night.
No. But it was night one of the Scooble Bobblehead giveaway. And, you know, we took calls on it yesterday and there were people that certainly had interest. But hope it went well. Hope everybody, you know, who wanted one got one. As we have pointed out in the air, having been part of free giveaways here at the station, free giveaways can be trickier than you would imagine.
That they can be.
248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Builders First Source has you covered. With four Metro Detroit locations, they specialize in top quality composite decking. It's brands that you trust, like Trex, TimberTech, and AZEK. Whether you're a DIY enthusiast or you need a certified installer, their expert team will help you build the perfect deck that stands the test of time. Visit one of the locations today in Lapeer, Auburn Hills, Clinton Township, or Shelby Township, and discover why Builders First Source is your go-to for decking. My mom contacted them last fall. They put up a deck. It is fantastic. She absolutely loves it. It's quality, service, and they've got unbeatable value. That's the Builders First Source promise. Search buildersfirstsource.com.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Lots of talk after last night's Tiger win and Scooble saying he wants this team to add. Joey Cora is gone. There was glowing things said by A.J. Hinch regarding the Tiger third base coach. Billy Boyer took over. He was serving as the Tigers' quality control coach. He is now coaching third base. We had gotten some complaints about Cora from the audience. something that we have said on the air a lot is one of the easiest things to do when you are an organization is to fire a coach, maybe not the manager, but if you're disappointed in choose a player, you can't necessarily fire him and just go get someone better. Sometimes you can promote someone that might do better. That's possible. But usually you kind of have to ride it out. When you can fire the manager, which is disrupting, but sometimes, of course, necessary. But you're talking about changing a major change being made. Something that's relatively easy is fire the hitting coach, fire the pitching coach, fire the third base coach. Because your organization is filled with people who perform similar duties at all kinds of levels. And, you know, it doesn't completely disrupt things, typically. So I've always said, you know, when people call and say, I think their hitting coach sucks, I got to fire the hitting coach. Or, well, that's pretty easy to do. And if they're culpable, you'd think organizations would move on. Clearly, I shouldn't say clearly, it appears that they just decided, those of you that had had enough with Joey Cora sending runners and getting guys thrown out, that perhaps A.J. Hinch had gotten to the point where he agreed.
Well, it's interesting the way things were worded yesterday, or what Hinch had to say about it. And yes, he says some glowing things about him. He's a better manager because of the time he spent with Joey Cora, and that's a really nice thing to say. I said it was they came to a mutual agreement to part ways and to leave the organization. But also kind of made it sound like they had a meeting before the game and they weren't on the same page.
Yeah.
And that's why he was let go. And yet Jake Rogers said, yeah, I got a text last night about it, meaning the night before, about something like this. But we found out later today with a team meeting that this had happened. Whatever the reason, I agree with you. You can find other coaches, right?
Yep.
It's not the end of the world. Manager's a little bit different, and obviously players are different. But a third base coach, you know, that's easily replaced. Guys in the game know the game. Joey Cora knew the game. I thought he was a little too aggressive at times. Obviously, when somebody gets thrown out, don't do that. But it's not like the problem I had when guys get thrown out by 10 feet. Guys getting thrown out the plate, I don't have a problem with. You're being aggressive, bang, bang, play, it happens.
Wasn't there one last week where like the ball had been picked up by the left fielder?
Bellinger had picked it up, and Riley Green hadn't even gotten to third base yet.
And he waved him around.
Yeah, and it just seems stupid. Not to pile on the Joey Cora thing, but I would say this. I found myself up until the last game when I watched him play coach two nights ago, or 3 days ago, whatever it was, increasingly annoyed with the pointing that he does at third base once the player slides into third, that he's pointing at where the ball is. Like he's walking onto the field of play pointing, hey, it's over there. Got it. And I don't know why it bothered me so much, but to the point where I saw it in Sunday's game, I'm beside myself with almost rage about how this had annoyed me. And it never should get to that point. But it is ended up being one of the most annoying things I've dealt with in sports recently that I can remember, is that stupid freaking point. Why?
Why did it bother you, or why did he do it?
Well, both. Why the hell did it bother me? But why are you doing it in the first place? And why was I worked up about it? It's just a dumb point, but what are you doing it for?
Yeah, dude, I don't know why it bothers you. Just letting the guy know where the ball is in case.
I mean, but it's like you'd almost... The finger point almost went like right in the face of the third baseman. Like, you have it. You have the ball. And like in a threatening, menacing way where it's like, wait a minute. If you keep doing that, somebody's going to jack it in the face if you keep pointing like that. Maybe that's it. The genesis. I don't like finger pointing. Maybe that's it.
No, that's true. Pointed my finger at you. And quite frankly, people, he has gotten very upset with me when I do it.
It's rude.
Or you're weird.
It's also irrational. I get it. That's what I said. I don't know why I'm so worked up about it, but I was. And now we don't have to worry about that, as Boyer is taking over as the third base coach, which he's done from time to time when Cora has had to miss some time with the family matters or whatever, which is all right. I don't think it's going to have any effect on this team moving forward. They're still going to be aggressive on the base pass. Hopefully, maybe not sending a runner approaching third while the left fielder is ready to transfer the ball.
You know, I mean, I don't know that A.J. Hinch would make the move if he didn't think it would have an impact on this team moving forward.
Yeah.
Why would he do it?
I guess the impact is maybe you're being slightly less aggressive.
I can't imagine.
The philosophy is there to be aggressive, but to a point.
Yeah,
right?
I can't imagine that they would fire Joey Cora and replace him with somebody who's going to be more aggressive.
Right. If this guy starts pointing, I'm going to go nuts. Am I alone? Do you guys behind the glass? Did it bother you with the finger pointing going on at third base with Joey Cora?
Bobby?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Paul, you hate everything. Did it bother you?
No, it didn't.
It bothered me, but it didn't bother you.
Even the guy that hates everything, apparently.
It's crazy. Maybe I am a fool.
No, it's okay. Look, sometimes when you've just had enough of somebody, the littlest of things. Right. I mean, this sounds like you were going through a divorce. And you, by the end, I can't stand the way she chews.
Did you breathe like that? But it's interesting you say that, because A.J. Hinch said, basically, this is kind of like a family. Sometimes things don't work out and you have to say goodbye. He actually used it in those terms.
Maybe that's exactly what it is.
This isn't working out between us. Two people have never met. Never met Joey Cora. It is not working out with us anymore.
Let's go to Al in Plymouth. Hello, Al.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I wasn't crazy about Joey Cora either and his finger point, and that drove me crazy. I don't know what he was trying to tell those guys. But in yesterday's ball game, we had runners at first and third with nobody out, and we get a ground ball to the third baseman, and the runner on third goes to home, and
it's
an easy out.
Yep, it's Carpenter.
The rule of thumb there is you see the ball through with nobody out. I mean, if there's two outs or, he had no business running, and the coach's job is to stand there and tell him there's nobody out, see the ball through the infield before you take off for home.
Do you know that he didn't?
Well, I don't know, but the runner ran. Okay?
Yeah, the runner did run.
And he was a dead out. I mean, it was a dead giveaway. And then the next hitter gets up and hits a fly ball and one more out and we're out of the inning and we didn't get the run.
Look, it might have been on Carpenter.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, you can blame Carpenter. I don't know.
I'm not blaming anybody. I would say that if. We don't know that he didn't tell Carpenter that. I didn't see any reporting on it that he wasn't supposed to go there, and we told him that, and he went anyway.
Yeah, well, we had controversy about our third base coach, and then we get this new guy in there, and that thing happened, and I don't know, like you said, I don't know if it was just on him. But.
Yeah, I don't know where the culpability lies there, because I don't know, sometimes, teams want to be hyper-aggressive and go on contact, and... But typically, yes, there's no real reason to go with nobody out.
And he was gunned down by a mile.
Yes, he was. So could have been on Boyer, who immediately I was like, what was the name of Woody Harrelson's character in White Man Can't Jump?
God. Come on.
Yeah. No, I got it.
You have it?
Yeah, are you going to get it? That's a question.
I am going to get it.
Because the third base coach is Billy Boyer.
Billy Hoyle?
There it is. And what was the name of Wesley Snipes' character?
Sydney?
It was Sydney. I don't know what Sydney's...
I don't know if we ever got Sydney's last name.
I'm not sure we did either.
Sydney Dean.
Sydney Dean? Is that what it was? Okay.
Whoa.
I think he might be right. It sounds right.
Why would you doubt him?
Well, because I don't know. I don't remember what he was. I know it was Billy Hoyle, and he owed money to the Stuckey brothers. And what was his girlfriend's name? Rosie Perez's character's name?
Gloria. Clemente.
There you go. Clemente?
All right, Mr. IMDb, whatever.
Foods that begin with the letter Q. What is a quince?
What's a quince?
All right, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. We got open lines. You want to keep talking Tigers? We can do that. Pistons, what is Trajan's next move? Very interesting development in the Dylan Larkin story, as Helaine St. James reported yesterday, about 24 hours ago. Hey, Larkin hasn't increased his trade list. It's still just three teams. which doesn't feel like he's really committed to leaving Detroit, if that's the case. Carson Anderson, 97.1.